You can begin taking your Bibles tonight, if you would, and find the first book in the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew. Find the third chapter. Be finding the 16th verse. And when you get there, shout amen. And then you can stand to your feet, if you would, as we honor our King with the reading of His holy word of instruction for us. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, as we come to this text tonight, Father, may You place within our hearts the desire to live under open heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now this text brings up a very interesting phrase, if you would. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. Now brothers and sisters, every believer's goal ought to be to live under an open heaven. And here's why. The Spirit of God descended when the heavens were opened. We need an open heaven today if we're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, but more important, upon this nation's life. Oh, how we need the heavens to come open and that the Spirit of God would be poured out. And I think, you know, I listen to so many people. You want to know what so many people say all the time? They say, "Preacher, we need revival. Preacher, we need revival." I hear it all the time. We need the Spirit of God to move today. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need a holy visitation from God today in America. Would it surprise you to hear that the prophet Isaiah was crying out in his day for God to rend the heavens? This is what he said. "Oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens, that Thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at Thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make Thy name known to Thine adversary." And we need some boiling waters today to make God's name known to our adversaries. "And that the nations may tremble at Thy presence." Can I ask you a question tonight? When's the last time you trembled in the presence of God? When's the last time you were so weak in your knees, you just felt God's presence in such a way that it caused you to tremble, caused you to shake? You know why we don't have it? Because we're not asking for it. Remember what James wrote, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Friend, are you praying for God to rend the heavens today, to wake this world up, to make them know there is a God of glory, there is a King in heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ? If we desire a holy visitation from God, we better begin to pray this way. You know what the answer to revival is? Prayer. We don't have revival because we don't ask for it. We don't have revival because we don't pray for it. We don't have revival because we're not trembling in the presence of Almighty God. We aren't even praying for an open heaven. We've got to pray for an open heaven over our lives, over our church life, over our family's life, over this nation's life. Oh God, rend the heavens! We need an open heaven to bring about reformation and repentance. And I don't know of a family that I'm looking at tonight, and you're looking at me. So that means all of us. I don't know of a family tonight in this nation that would not be better off if we were brought to repentance and restoration. Do you? I got folk in my family that need to repent. What about you? Oh, we got folks up and down this valley that need to repent. We got folks downtown Lebanon in that big city of ours that need to repent. We got folks all over our county that need to repent. We need to turn back to God. And we ain't even got to the swamp in Washington yet. But we know they need to repent. We need an open heaven today. And we need the Spirit of God to descend and to melt hardened hearts. And to supple stiffened necks. Sorry, buddy. But we need supple necks, don't we? We don't need no stiff necks. Last time I preached about a stiff neck, poor buddy got one. So we're hoping that don't happen. We need the Spirit of God to cause us to tremble in His presence. We need the Spirit of God to go among these pews tonight that would cause His people to get on their knees at this altar and pray for this nation, to pray for their families, to pray for this church. Oh, how we need to have the Spirit of God cause us to tremble. Unless God can cause us to tremble, we'll never experience the fear of the Lord again. The only thing I compare this to, one day, what you don't know about me is I used to be a custodian in a grade school. By day, a horse trainer by night, because we were trying to build up the business. And one day, there I was in the school, because I was just cleaning, it was just me. And I walked into this room. Yeah, it's no room, no special about the room. But friend, I knew God was standing right in front of me. And the Spirit was so powerful that I knew if I took another step, I'd make a wrong move against God. And I got down on my knees right there. And I said, God, forgive me. I was shaking. I said, God, use me. God, I'm not living the way you want me to live. God, do what you need to do in me, because there was God, and I shook. Friends, as a child of God, we ought to be taking revival with us wherever we go. Listen to what the Word of God teaches about this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you not know what the problem is today? The problem is that too many of God's children are not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. They don't read the Word of God. They don't spend time in the presence of God. They are too distracted by what this world has to offer, and thus they desire everything but what they should desire. And that's a problem for every one of us. Because those of us who are faithful, we ought to be living such a life of an example that we would be creating a thirst in those who see us in the community. When they bring up they got issues, we can say, I got issues too, but I got a Savior who can answer those issues. And come on down to the church with me and let me introduce you to the Savior. Let me show you the one who can help you with your issues. But we're too distracted today. Listen to what the psalmist wrote. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Why is it we inquire everywhere but where we ought to inquire? Isaiah The same Isaiah who cried for the open heavens declared, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." We're living in a nation where we have too many fainting Christians. You know, there's an element here that God is trying to teach us tonight. And what he's saying to us from Isaiah is that sitting in the presence of God, silently in prayer, it gives eagles wings. And that's what's missing in so many of our lives today. You see, we have become conditioned, if you will, either to the Burger King motto of "have it your way," or the microwave where we expect to receive answers in 30 seconds. In our 30-second world, in our have-it-your-way world, we focus on us and not near enough on God. We aren't conditioned to wait. How many of you find yourself getting impatient very quickly? If we can't wait for the little things in life, we aren't going to wait for God. Do you know Moses sat on Mount Sinai and waited for 6 days before God spoke? And we can't wait 6 seconds. The eagle is made for high altitude and strength for the race of this life and for the issues that we all face in this life. And though the issues are varied for each and every one of us, because we all won't go through the same things, the strength that we need for the race of life comes only when we wait upon the Lord. Only by waiting upon God are we ever going to be able to run the race of life with the endurance that has been set before us. And we've got to cast off all those useless weights, all those distractions, those things in our lives that take us away from the presence of God. And we've all got them. It could be that dumb cell phone. It could be that television. It could be the news. It could be this. It could be that. It could be a million things, couldn't it? Say amen. But if we're going to carry revival with us wherever we go, we must desire and learn to abide under the shadow of the Almighty if we want the heavens open to us. Listen, if the heavens can be open to us, it also means they can be closed to us. The heavens can be closed over us as individuals. It can be closed over families, over nations, over cities, and over churches. And Jesus taught, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And what he's teaching is that an individual in a family can be seeking God while others in the family are not. And the heavens will be open to the one who seeks God, and the heavens are going to be closed to the one who will not seek God. And the heavens will be opened to the individual, but not the family. And the same thing goes for churches. It goes for nations. It goes for cities. It goes for counties. You know, some places are blessed, and others are not. Some are living under an open heaven, and others have closed heaven to them. Friends, Jesus faced opposition from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and yet Jesus lived under an open heaven and carried revival with him wherever he went. And Jesus said to us, "You shall do greater works than I did," which means we have the ability to live under an open heaven and carry revival with us wherever we go. You see, God gives us all moments every day, doesn't he? And all we've got to do is be Christ in the moments that he gives us. speed like Jesus. You know, the greatest opposition and hindrance to what God is trying to accomplish in this church, in this community, in this nation, in your family's life, if you will, and it plays out all across churches, all across this nation. Some of the greatest hindrances to open heavens are those who criticize what makes them feel insecure. Think about that for a minute. Do you know what entity, do you know what institution houses the greatest critics today? The church. I heard somebody whisper that. The church. The church is more often than not in league with the devil and serving the devil by criticizing others. You know, if the music isn't what you thought it ought to be, well, we've got to complain about that. If the preacher didn't preach what you thought he ought to preach, we're going to complain about that. We always seem to have something to complain about, to criticize, if you will. And let me tell you, people will not go where the heavens are closed. People want to be under an open heaven, and you know that as well as I do. People want to go and they want to stay where the heavens are open. And you know, after the heavens were open to Jesus, everything changed. Think about that. When the heavens were opened unto Jesus, he went into the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. And he faced Satan. And he wore them out by the word of God. And then he finally told them, "Get thee behind me, Satan." We can do the same thing. And the greatest healing, the greatest deliverance, and the greatest miracle ministry on earth happened. Because the heavens were opened unto Jesus. He had the power to face Satan, and we have that same power. He faced Satan with the word of God, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, you know what? If you read this Bible will tell you, greater is he that is in you than he who is in this world. We have the word of God, and God lives inside every Christian. And we can look the enemy in the eye and we can tell him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thus saith the Lord." We need a lot more of "thus saith the Lord" in our world today, amen? We need to tell the devil to get thee hence. Too often we listen to the hiss of the snake rather than put our faith in Christ. Friends, what did the Apostle John write about Jesus? This is what he had to say, John 21:25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Jesus took revival with him wherever he went. Can I ask you, who lives inside of you? Have you repented of your sin? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? What does the Bible teach? Who came into your heart? Who lives in your heart? Who sealed your heart? The Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, we got all the power in the world. And we can take revival with us wherever we go. We have the power to change our world. Your world might be just your family. It might be your place of work. It might be this little community called Lebanon. It might be Russell County. But you have the power to change your world. We just need to talk a little bit more like Jesus and a little less like the world. We need to believe that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world, and if he overcame everything, so will we. We need to speak victory, not losses and condemnation into people's lives. We need to speak victory. every single one of us in this church ought to desire to an open access to heaven. Do you realize that when the heavens are opened unto us, we have access to everything that is in heaven? Think about that. We have a free flow of God's supernatural grace available to us whenever we ask. Friends, if we have the faith for it, we can experience it, but we must believe it is for us. And I believe it is because the Bible tells me that I have it. Paul wrote, Ephesians 1 and 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Not some, not few, but all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, the glory of God is rich. And you know what's needed? We need to pray for the riches of God's glory to be released in us and in our church's life and in our nation's life. We need to wake up spiritually to the fact that we have riches untold. Just imagine for a moment with me. Your time has come, and God has called you home. And he's kind of reviewing your life with you, if you will. And he takes you by a room, and in there are all these things. And you're going by. You say, "Wait a minute, Lord, what's that room about?" Those are all the things you could have done if you just would have asked. I wanted to use you for all these things. You had all the victory in the world, but you went around like a loser with a loser's mentality and a loser's attitude, always bemoaning your lot in life. And I couldn't give you what was rightfully yours because, you see, you never asked for it. They were all there for you. You remember that time when you were down and out and I was there to raise you up? But you just went on and gave me no credit for it. You remember that time that man came and he was in a bad way, and I just helped you out of your bad way, but you just said it was my good luck. But you didn't tell him about Jesus. Now, you remember that time you were facing that major surgery or that heart-rending situation, and you never asked. It was there for you. Son, you just didn't believe enough. You had the faith, but you see, you never allowed your faith to grow. You had the Word, and you had all these days, all these years, all this time that I gave you, but you see, you just never took the time to read it. It was there. That's what that room's all about. The things that were yours, but you lost because you never asked. We have not because we ask not. And we have all the riches in heaven, all the spiritual blessings, riches that are unnumbered in heaven. That are ours. How did we get them? They were given to us. That old cross up behind me, Jesus died there. He paid for it. He purchased it at the cross of Calvary. You see, when we live under an open heaven, we go about our day carrying heaven's blueprint with us wherever we go. Jesus said, Men shall know that you are mine because you have love one for another. Isn't it interesting that we live in such a world of hate? Have you ever wondered, where's the love? I shared this, I don't know when, but I'm getting old, and it's all right. People tell me it's only going to get worse. So if you've heard this before, you just chalk it up and start numbering the stories I tell. Oh, yeah, that's number one or number two. But my wife and I, several years ago, went to a church, and outside that church, they had a sign that said, the most lovingest church there is, or words to that effect. We were visitors. They were having a fellowship meal that day. Nobody handed us a bulletin, had to go get one. Nobody greeted us. Nobody asked us to stay for the meal. My wife and I got back in the car after church. No one said goodbye. See you, come back later. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I told her, if that's what love is, don't want none. Don't want none. Don't want that kind of love. See, that church, they could say it, they just couldn't live it. And that's a problem for a lot of Christians today, isn't it? We can say, oh, how I love Jesus, but we just don't live that. We ought to be living the way Jesus lived. We have free access by faith to all the riches of heaven because Jesus Christ is our open door. We're even told to come boldly before the throne of grace. But we don't do it. Why? Make application as we close tonight. First, if you want to get close to Jesus, you've got to come to Jesus the way he says we're to come. We just can't come any old way. We're to come the way he says we're to come. And Jesus will speak to us if we quiet ourselves. Now, I know this is hard. You got to work at it. Because it's not just sitting in a corner thinking all these thoughts. When's the last time you quieted your mind so that you're thinking about nothing? When's the last time you put out all the distractions? When's the last time you put down your phone and got away from it? When's the last time you got off social media? When's the last time you just sat in silence and quieted your spirit so that God could really speak? Friends, the Bible says that God speaks in a still, small voice. And we've got to be in the position if we're going to hear God speak. And then, on top of that, we've got to open ourselves up to him. I know we can hide things from one another because, after all, we want people to think the best of us and not the worst of us. We're not as transparent with one another as what we need to be at times. But you know, God knows all about you already. And all he asks is that you just tell him about it. You know, I've never known God to reject anybody. Have you? But we just got to be willing to be honest with God. God, I'm struggling here. God, I'm crying out. I don't have the strength. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, I'm afraid. There is something about opening yourself up to God. The Spirit of God will come in and He'll direct you to write to the Scriptures that you need. He'll give you the strength for the journey. He'll give you the power you need in the moment. And then second, if we want Jesus to draw near to us, we've got to be willing and have a desire to draw near to Him. You see, He wants a relationship with us. He wants to spend time with us. You see, it's by doing these two things that we can ever hope to have the heavens opened unto us. God is willing. The heavens were opened unto Jesus, and what is Jesus? Jesus freely gives to us. But we've got to be willing to spend time with Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you some tough questions. They may step on your heart, because I care nothing about your toes. But God knows you're weak. Not W-E-A-K, but your past W-E-E-K, weak. How much time did you spend with Jesus? How much time did you spend in prayer? How much time did you spend seeking God? And by the way, coming to church, though a good thing, is not seeking God. You seek God on your own time. We come here to worship the King of Kings and thank Him for what He's done in our lives. How much time have you spent developing your relationship with God in this past week? You see, He's willing. Are we? Well, that's my prayer. Oh, Lord, give me a heart for You. Help me to be what You would have me to be. Lord, I just want to be with You. Because then I'll have everything I need. Now, Jesus said, and I'm going to close with this, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, without a doubt, we've all lived on some of the physical bread that man can do. But if we've missed this past week, if we haven't spent any time with God this past week, we've missed it all. We've missed what was most important. We wasted another week not developing our relationship with God. We spent another week putting another nail into the canopy to keep heaven shut to us. If we want heaven open unto us, we've got to spend time with God. You know, being the pastor affords me a lot of privileges. One of those privileges is I just get to come in this church and sit here sometimes. Sometimes I can sit in the front pew. I go to this side then just to switch sides. You know, I don't want to always sit in the same spot. But I'll come over here and I'll just sit here. Just to hear His voice. Just to sit silent. What's that old song? Silently I wait for Thee. When's the last time we waited for God and said, oh God, open the heavens unto me. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Oh, God. Let your spirit move among us tonight as it hasn't in quite some time. And Lord, may we open our hearts to you tonight. And may we just collectively pray, oh God, have your will and your way in me. Lord, you know all my fears. You know all my weaknesses. You know all my strengths. And by your grace, I'm still here upon this earth. And by your grace, upon your word, I'll stand. And by your grace, I'll obey your command. Oh, God, help me to love others as you love others. Help me to testify of your goodness and greatness. Oh, God, open up your heavens unto me, unto us, and pour out your Spirit upon us. Do a work in our families. Do a work in our hearts. Let it begin with us. Give us a heart that just encourages others wherever we go, and let us take revival with us. Lord, we can change our community if we'll just go tell of the things that Jesus has done for us. Lord, we love you tonight. Oh, Father, how we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.